Praise God and good morning. Welcome to our Friday morning devotion. Our theme for the year continues to be divine enlargement through outreach. And when God talked to us about enlargement, He indicated that He will enlarge us in all directions. I think if you go to Isaiah 54, you will see, I'm thinking it's, verse 3. For you shall expand to the right and to the left, and your descendants will inherit the nations and make the desolate cities inhabited. So, what God is promising us is we'll expand in all directions, and we will be able to inherit the nations, meaning different peoples and languages. And today, I want to talk about a group of people or an area that many of us as Christians don't tread, and that is politics. So I want to talk about the Christian and politics. But let's pray as we begin. Mighty and everlasting Father, in Jesus' name, we give you thanks, we give you praise, and we give you glory. We thank you for the call for us to expand, even through outreach. Lord God Almighty, you're calling on us to expand in all directions and to be able to take hold of all the nations. Lord God Almighty, continue to strengthen us, continue to show us the way that we may be able to enlarge our territories, that we will make our tent big, even to be able to hold the many children that you're bringing to the kingdom. We thank you for this morning, even as we share from your word. We pray that you lead us and guide us by your Holy Spirit. This we pray, trusting and believing in Jesus' name. Amen. Yes, so our major topic is divine enlargement through outreach, and the subtopic is the Christian and politics. And why we also need to talk about politics is that when Jesus was saying, teaching his disciples how to pray, was telling them that they pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it's done in heaven. So it was the whole earth, not just the Christian circles, but every part of the earth, that the way the kingdom of God will come is that the will of God is done in every sphere in our lives. And as we sit in this country of ours called Kenya, we have a lot of issues. People are crying across the nation, especially due to cost of living and the impending tax increases. And the government is not relenting. It wants to push this through the nose. They want us to pay whether we like it or not. And there's very little we can do if the government decides to move ahead, because they have the instrument of power. And though we are the ones who put them there, once they are there, they lord over us. And many in this country are feeling disgruntled with what is happening. They are feeling helpless. They're feeling held captive. And you remember this word in Isaiah 61, where Jesus read it and he said, this scripture has been fulfilled in him, that he came to preach the good. In verse 1, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, an opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn. It goes on and on. But that same Spirit of God is in us, and we should be out there proclaiming liberty to the captives and open the gates of prison to those who are bound. And the Kenyan people need a deliverer. They need somebody who will help them navigate the issues that are at heart. And that's why Christians cannot shy away from politics, because in politics, that's when where decisions are made. And when we have good leaders, then the nation is at peace. The nation rejoices. We told about David. Sorry. That David in Psalms 78:72. Excuse me. So David shepherded them according to the integrity of his heart, and guided them with his skillful hand. And so he led them with integrity and also skill. And we are told in Proverbs 14:34, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a disgrace. Excuse me. Excuse me. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a disgrace to any people. We are also told in Proverbs 29:2, where the righteous are in authority and become great, the people rejoice. But when the wicked man rules, the people groan and sigh. We are also told in the same Proverbs 29, verse 16, when the wicked are in authority, transgressions increases. But the righteous will see the downfall of the wicked. So, from all these scriptures, you can see that God would want the righteous to be in authority. Because when they are in authority, they will make policies that will bring transformational changes in society, and there will be joy, not like there's mourning now. And what we need are righteous men. We are told about righteous men and women. We are told about righteous, when the righteous are in authority. So we're not talking about churchgoers, because in our government there are many churchgoers. Many, so many of them, maybe more than 80% are churchgoers. But what we are looking are Christians by action. Not just by words. And if you see the way they were qualifying those who would be given responsibility in the early church, in Acts 6, when there were complaints about food and they needed people to help in the distribution of fair distribution of food, they chose men. In Acts 6, verse 3, we are told, therefore, brothers, choose from among you seven men with good reputation, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, we may put in charge of this task. So they didn't ask for just administrative experience, but they wanted people with good reputation, meaning they had a good track record. But then they were also to be full of the Spirit and also of wisdom. And these were the men put in charge. We are told in verse 5 of Acts 6 that the suggestions pierced the whole congregation, and they selected Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, and then all those others to make the seven. But I want us to draw more lessons from the book of Esther. It's a story of mainly Esther and Mordecai, and to see how they engaged with the political system. So we may not be able to read most of it, but the story in the book of Esther is known to many, that there was a queen called Vashti, and when she disobeyed the king, she was dethroned, and they now look for virgins to get the one to choose to be the next queen, and Esther was taken among those virgins. But Esther was brought up by her guardian, Mordecai, and she appeared to have been taught well by Mordecai, because we can see that she appreciated her roots as a Jew, so that even when she eventually became queen, she did not defect because of the grammar in the palace. When you see our people who have been coming to church and they get to government, many defect. They're no longer in their faith. They're just normally there. But Esther kept to her roots and obeyed her guardian, Mordecai. And we can see she was quite established in faith, because when it came to a time when the Jews were to be destroyed, she knew how to approach God. She knew how to intercede and to get God to act. Because in chapter 4, verse 16 to 17, we see that Esther told them to go and tell Mordecai, "Go gather all the Jews who are present in Shushan and fast for me, neither eat nor drink for 3 days, night and day. My maids and I will fast likewise. And so I will go to the king, which is against the law, and if I perish, I perish." So Mordecai went his way and did according to all that Esther commanded him. So she knew that the way to get God intervene in a miraculous way was through prayer and fasting. So this Esther was an established Christian, or an established believer. And even when now she is already queen, you can see she's still using the spiritual weapons to fight, because as we are told in Ephesians 6:12, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly praises. So she knew she was up against worldly forces, and these were not operating just physically, but they were spiritual powers. So we are not, like we are told, we are not wrestling against flesh and blood. They are not things that you see and take a lungu and fight. But these are spiritual forces, rulers, powers, and powers of darkness and spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. And so she knew what she was up against, but she knew the antidote or the solution, prayer and fasting. And as we look for positions of leadership in government, for people to position for leadership in government, that is those people we want to vote for, let's consider those who have been tested and have been seen to be full of faith and filled with the Holy Spirit, so that we will end up having true Christians getting to government. Since it looks like we have very few true Christians in government, we need to begin to prepare those who fit the bill, those who are full of faith and filled with the Holy Spirit, those who have a character that has been tested, and we know that they will maintain that character, like Esther did. The second thing I want us to see is about strategy. And as we look at the story of Mordecai, we see how he prepared Esther. Though she was lovely and beautiful, as indicated in Esther 2:7, her being a Jew would have been a problem, because you know they were in exile. These are people who didn't like the Jews. It's the same even today. You may be a Christian, and if people know you are one, they might not want you in a particular place. But Mordecai had a strategy. For her not to be pushed out, Mordecai told her not to reveal her heritage. We see that in Esther 2, verse 10. Esther had not revealed her people or family, for Mordecai had charged her not to reveal it. Sometimes as we want to position our people to get into government, into politics, we don't have to reveal everything. There are things that are better revealed much later, when the people have already been able to get through the doors. And Mordecai did not just leave the matters there. Even when Esther has succeeded in becoming a queen, in verse 11, we see every day Mordecai, who was an attendant in the king's court, walked back and forth in front of the courtyard of the harem to learn how Esther was getting along and what was happening to her. So I would imagine Mordecai would hear, you know, he was walking back and forth every day. He would hear the report of how she's doing, and Mordecai would now go and pray knowledge about for her. And that's how, at the end of the time, she ended up getting favor with the king. And so as we get our Christian brothers to get to positions in government, we should not leave them alone. We should continue to check on them and find out how they are doing and pray for them. Let the fellowship continue, that they may be able to stand even as we continue to relate with them on a regular basis. The trouble is that once they get there, we don't even attempt to follow them and seek them out. We assume now they have changed, so we also disconnect. But if you have a brother or a sister who has gone to government, please be like Mordecai. Keep checking with them how they are doing and praying for them. The third thing is about having providing support from the ground. So we may not be the ones in high position, but what we do from our lowly position will contribute to the cause of the ones in high places. In Esther chapter 2, we see the actions of Mordecai. We can read Esther chapter 2, 21 to 23. It tells us that in those days, while Mordecai sat within the king's gate, two of the king's eunuchs, Bigthan and Teresh, doorkeepers, became furious and sought to lay hands on King Ahasuerus. So the matter became known to Mordecai, who told Queen Esther. And Esther informed the king in Mordecai's name. And when an inquiry was made into the matter, it was confirmed, and both were hanged on a gallows. And it was written in the book of the Chronicles in the presence of the king. So we need, as the people on the ground, to pick bad things happening and report these to those in high offices who are connected with us, those Christians who are in those high offices. Mm. Because it's unlikely they will know what is happening on the ground. You can imagine how disconnected some of the people in high offices are, that when Haman had been able to get a decree to exterminate the Jewish people, Esther did not know that a decree had been made to kill all the Jews in the kingdom. So when Mordecai was now in sackcloth, and Esther sent clothes for him and he refused, Esther had to set one of her eunuchs, Hadad, to find out what was the issue, as all that she had seen was Mordecai in sackcloth. So you can see that people in high places may not know what is happening, and we on the ground can help them. And especially now those who are connected to us, those brethren in high places, we can tell them this is what is happening, and they will get a good credit. But that good act of Mordecai actually is the one that began the head of Haman, who had determined to exterminate the Jews. And we see the decree was later overturned and God's people saved. So what we see that happened was that because of that good act by Mordecai, there was this time the king could hardly sleep, and the books were read. And when the books were read, it was discovered that it is Mordecai who had revealed the plot. This is in chapter 6. And the king wanted now to honor Mordecai. And lo and behold, when the king wanted to do this, Haman had just entered the outer king of the king's palace to suggest that the king hang Mordecai on the gallows that he had prepared for him. But even before he could tell the king told him, asked him, what shall be done for the man whom the king derides to honor? And now Haman thought in his heart, whom would the king deride to honor or more than me? And Haman answered the king, for the man whom the king derides to honor, let a loyal robe be brought which the king has worn, and a horse on which the king has ridden, which has a loyal crest placed on its head. Then let this robe and horse be delivered to the hand of one of the king's most noble princes, that he may allay the man whom the king derides to honor. Then parade him on horseback through the city square and proclaim before him, thus shall it be done to the man whom the king derides to honor. Then the king said to Haman, hurry, take the robe and the horse as you have suggested, and do so for Mordecai the Jew who sits within the king's gate. Leave nothing undone of all that you have spoken. So this man that Haman wanted to hang on the gallows ended up being honored by the king, and Haman was actually the one told to carry out that act. And even when he got home, his wife told him, if Mordecai before whom you have begun to fall is of Jewish descent, you will not prevail against him, but will surely fall before him. And then he went now to this banquet that had been arranged by Esther. And Esther talked to the king about the way Haman wanted to harm the Jews. And he ended up now being hanged on the gallows he had set for Mordecai. And God intervened that even that edict, that command that had been given, Esther was given the king's signet ring to overturn it and to write now what should be done for the Jews. And so we see that Mordecai provided a very important support to Esther, who was in the high office in the kingdom. And if Esther had not gotten involved in politics of her day, which came in the form of a beauty contest, the entire Jewish race would have been wiped out in her day. And even Mordecai told her in Esther 4:14, for if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise from another place, but you and your father's family will perish. And who knows but that you have come to your royal position for such a time as this. Esther got into that position so that she could save the Jewish community. And Mordecai recognized that and challenged her to that. And the statement of Mordecai to Esther spurred Esther into making a difference in her own day. So we have people in high positions, some who are worshiping together with us, and it is important that as we interact with them, we make them realize that they are not there for their personal interest, but they are there at a time like this to be able to help are God's people. That even when there is so much decay in Kenya and generally in the African society, we can have people who have interest of the masses at heart, who are not selfish and corrupt. And so my encouragement is that politics is not a no-go zone for us. We have seen Esther getting into politics and delivering the Jewish list. And who knows what you will obtain by joining politics today and being the right there in the kingdom. So my encouragement is for us not to shun politics. Politics is part of the kingdom. And when God says, your will, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as is done in heaven, it includes in politics. As Christians, we need to be involved in politics because God cares for this world he has created and how it is run. He cares about politics. He cares about governance. He cares about how his people are managed. That's why he would say David led his people with the integrity of heart. So we leave it there because of time, and we're going to pray. Mighty and everlasting Father, in Jesus' name, we want to thank you and to bless your name, to worship you and to glorify you. Thank you that you want your kingdom to come on earth and not just in certain places, in all places, including politics, including government. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ that you will help many who are full of faith and full of the Holy Ghost to think about joining politics, that even as we join politics, we will be able to strategize, just like Mordecai strategized with Esther, and she ended up being the queen. The Lord God Almighty, we even when we get to those high places, we will appreciate that we are in the kingdom for such a time as this, even to help God's people. The Lord God Almighty, even as we have a number of people who were worshippers, who were believers, even before they got into the current position they are in, the Lord, you will remind them of their heritage. Esther never forgot about her heritage, that she was a Jew. Let these people not forget they are Christians. Let these people not forget that they are supposed to be the right in those places where they are. The Lord, they will shine your right, that they will transform things from their corners, O God. And even as we are outside government or in peripheral positions, may we support those who are in a high position from the household of faith, that they may be able to succeed and make major strides in the area of governance, in Jesus' name. And so we pray that you help us as a nation. The Lord God Almighty, even as we come to the finalization of the finance bill for 2023-2024, the Lord, you will reign, that your will shall be done in this nation, in Jesus' name. We give you thanks and we give you praise because we pray, trusting and believing in Jesus' name. Amen.